on the web at theschmidt.org. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, where tickets are available to Friends of the Lead for 2026-27 events, including an evening with David Sedaris, a cappella group Straight No Chaser, plus more. Details at lead.ku.edu.
It's 87 degrees in Lawrence, 91 in Manhattan, 88 in Topeka. It is 6:06.
Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from St. Joseph, Missouri, where the Pony Express began and Jesse James met his end. More information at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com. Produced in cooperation with Visit Missouri.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. We have news headlines coming up in about 12 minutes. It's going to happen at 6:30. 6:36, we'll tell you all about this big program happening this weekend called Rededicate 250, a big prayer event at the National Mall. It is tied to the nation's 250th anniversary. There's some controversy about it, though. We'll tell you about it. Plus, we will visit some pocket gardens in Washington, D.C. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Women's Center, offering a variety of women's health services for patients of all ages. More information is available at lmh.org.
Partly cloudy skies this evening for most of the KPR listening area. 40% chance of showers and storms late tonight, lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a slight chance of rain in the afternoon, highs around 90. Slight chance of rain tomorrow evening, lows in the upper 60s. Mostly sunny and breezy, highs in the upper 80s on Sunday. And then Monday, we could have a pretty serious severe weather day, but we're keeping an eye on that. As of right now, looks like we have a 50% chance of showers and storms Monday, with highs in the lower 90s. We'll see what happens when that front moves through. It's 87 degrees in Lawrence, 88 in Emporia. It is 6:20.
As the 50th season wraps up with the author of a new book on the show, this weekend on All Things Considered.
Join us for Weekend All Things Considered tomorrow at 4 p.m. on your KPR stations.
Do you own a business and value the programs on KPR? Your fellow Kansas Public Radio listeners could be your best customers. Support KPR and reach your fellow public radio fans by becoming a corporate sponsor. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming your way in just about 35 seconds. It is 87 degrees in Lawrence. It is 86 in Abilene. And the time is 6:30.
PR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Governor Laura Kelly has issued a state of disaster emergency due to wildfires raging across western Kansas. That declaration will make state resources available to help support local communities. KWCH-TV reports that 17 grass fires have been burning in Clark, Ford, Harper, Meade, and Morton counties. It is believed these fires were started by a dry thunderstorm. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation is looking into an officer-involved shooting in Kansas City, Kansas. Authorities say a man was fatally shot Thursday morning after he rushed toward officers during a domestic disturbance call. Officers say the man came out of a residence carrying a metal object. A struggle broke out and officers opened fire, striking 27-year-old Jesse Fitzgerald. He died later at an area hospital. Following the shooting, investigators recovered a metal spoon near Fitzgerald. No officers were injured. More Kansas wheat could be left untouched in fields this year after drought and disease ravaged one of the state's top crops. Wheat scouts say there will be more wheat acres abandoned than last year, when federal estimates say about 7% of the crop was not harvested. That's bad news for farmers already facing higher input costs, like fuel and fertilizer. Every bushel of wheat counts, but acres are producing about one-third less wheat this year. Vance Emke grows wheat in Lane County.
we wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start worrying, not a good deal at all.
Farmers who abandon damaged wheat crops could use them for cattle grazing or try to claim insurance. And records show that former Coldwater Mayor Jose Joe Ceballos is in ICE custody after he entered a guilty plea in a voter fraud case. He has been transferred to the Chase County Jail in Cottonwood Falls. Ceballos turned himself in to immigration officials in Wichita earlier this week. The Chase County Jail houses detainees for ICE. Last month, Ceballos pleaded guilty to misdemeanor election charges for voting as a non-citizen. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Row seat every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well. Lots of other non-Lawrence stations scattered around the state listed for you at our website, where we're also streaming, at kansaspublicradio.org.
Join us for KPR 105 Live from the Dole Institute. Food trucks at 11:30 and a concert featuring Alexa Dawson at 1 p.m. Thursday, June 4th, live from the Dole Institute. More at Dole Institute.
Thanks so much for spending part of your Friday evening with us. We still have another 11-ish minutes of All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR 1 stations at 7:01, we have news headlines followed by Stardate. Then 2 hours of film music. It's Film Music Friday. Jeff Watson is your host tonight. Music from movies about magic and magicians. That is coming your way on your KPR 1 stations. If you're joining us on KPR 2, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for Snap Judgment.
Did you know that if you're 70 and a half years or older, you can make a tax-advantaged contribution to KPR through a qualified charitable distribution? To learn more, contact your financial advisor or visit kansaspublicradio.org under the Support tab.
It's 87 degrees in Lawrence. It is 10 minutes before 7. KPR News.
Las calles infinitas y la historia en capital me hicieron conocer la soledad.
Thanks for listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the University of Maryland Libraries, committed to reimagining learning, advancing the public good, and empowering research that creates a better future for everyone. More at lib.umd.edu. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. And from Easy Cater, a workplace food platform dedicated to making it easy for organizations to order food from a wide variety of restaurants, set up employee meal programs, and manage food spend. At easycater.com. This is NPR.
We keep our questions on Morning Edition civil but direct.
But let's be real. How could your party still screw this up?
Cut the chase with us every weekday from NPR News.
Join us Monday morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations from 5 to 9. You will hear Morning Edition on KPR. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, on the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Busker Festival, a three-day event featuring acrobats, contortionists, aerialists, and more throughout downtown Lawrence, May 22nd through May 24th. More information at lawrencebuskerfest.com.
Stay tuned. Coming up next, news headlines, followed by Stardate. Then it's Film Music Friday tonight with movie magic, whether it's about stage magicians or magic itself, wondrous things to hear tonight, including Harry Potter, The Illusionist, and what you're hearing in the background, some of the music from Now You See Me. I went through a period I was totally obsessed with the soundtrack. Jeff Watson has it for you coming up next here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from KU's School of Professional Studies in Overland Park, home to master's and undergraduate degree programs. Options include fully online, in-person, and hybrid. More at sps.ku.edu.
It's 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Hurst. The Supreme Court late today rejected Virginia's request to use a new congressional map that favored Democrats in all but one of the state's congressional seats. The map, which was approved by the state's voters, was a key part of the effort by Democrats to counter a Republican wave of redistricting set off by President Trump and a Supreme Court decision that largely gutted the last remaining provision of the landmark Voting Rights Act. NPR's Nina Totenberg has more.
The new map was approved by Virginia voters in an April referendum, but the state Supreme Court, by a 4-3 vote, invalidated the referendum because the court said state legislators had failed to follow the proper procedures under the state constitution. Virginia Democrats and the state attorney general appealed to the Supreme Court, contending that the state court decision overrode the will of the people. But in a one-sentence order, the High Court refused, without explanation, to intervene in the case. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Democratic Congressman Steve Cohen is ending his reelection bid after Tennessee Republicans approved mid-decade redistricting pushed by President Trump. Mariana Bacallao of member station WPLN reports.
The new congressional map splits Cohen's home city of Memphis into three different districts. Tennessee's 9th congressional district, which Cohen has represented for nearly 20 years, now stretches 300 miles from Memphis to the edge of Nashville. Cohen is suing to block the redistricting plan, but a federal judge has allowed the map to go into effect while multiple legal challenges go forward. Cohen says he would rejoin the race if the map were struck down in court. In the meantime, more state lawmakers from both sides of the aisle have joined the race. For NPR News, I'm Mariana Bacallao in Nashville.
Ukraine's president and a top United Nations official say Russia deliberately targeted a UN vehicle in southern Ukraine with attack drones. NPR's Joanna Kakissis reports the strike took place in a part of Ukraine where Russians hunt civilians with drones.
A vehicle carrying staff from the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs was hit twice by small first-person view drones. No one was injured. Tom Fletcher, the UN's emergency relief coordinator, told a briefing he was awoken in the middle of the night to news of the drone strike.
Where our people were very, very lucky to escape with their lives in what looks like a targeted attack. And we are furious about that, and we will demand accountability and full investigations.
The attack took place in Ukraine's southern Kherson region, where Russian troops used drones to hunt civilians on foot and in vehicles. Ukrainians call this practice the human safari. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, Kyiv.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Subaru. The 2026 Subaru Outback features new styling as well as standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and EyeSight driver assist technology. Learn more at Subaru.com/Outback. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate May 15th. The Milky Way galaxy is home to a few hundred billion stars. And on average, it gives birth to a couple of suns worth of stars every year. But a much smaller galaxy about 12 million light years away puts the Milky Way to shame. It is spawning about 10 times as many stars per year. Like the Milky Way, Messier 82 is a thin disk with spiral arms wrapping around a dense core. It's less than half the size of the Milky Way. M82 is a starburst galaxy. It had a close encounter with another galaxy within the past 100 million years or so. That caused huge clouds of gas and dust to collapse, triggering the starbirth. The new stars are concentrated in the center of the galaxy, where astronomers have cataloged more than 100 superstar clusters. Each one contains hundreds of thousands of stars. Many of the stars are especially hot and massive, which makes the clusters especially bright. A strong wind of hot gas races away from that region. It squeezes the surrounding clouds, giving birth to more stars. But within another 100 million years, all the gas and dust will have been used up. Then, M82 will settle down to the same quiet life as the Milky Way. M82 is in Ursa Major. As night falls, it dangles below the upside-down bowl of the Big Dipper. It's an easy target for small telescopes. We see it edge-on, so it looks like a small, bright slash. We have more sky-watching tips and much more about the cosmos in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. I'm Billy Henry.
John Williams with the honor of starting things off tonight with the first notes composed, the prologue to Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, here on Kansas Public Radio. Later on tonight, we'll hear a bit more, not from Harry Potter, but Harry Potter adjacent, when we catch music from James Newton Howard, from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, along with pictures such as The Illusionist and The Prestige, because tonight, it's all about movie magic. We've got sounds tonight from movies where magic is a thing or about magicians themselves. The motion pictures are their own kind of special and rare magic, harnessing light and sound to tell wondrous stories and transport us to faraway places. We'll try to harness some of that magic ourselves for tonight's program. We'll keep things moving now with music from the story of Vegas magicians and a group of four of them known as the Four Horsemen, who pull off bank heists and robberies under the nose of the FBI using their skills of misdirection and stagecraft. From composer Brian Tyler, here's music from Now You See Me on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
bits from Brian Tyler and a few bits from the score to Now You See Me from 2013 here on Kansas Public Radio. More movie magic is on the way from composer James Newton Howard later, with music from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, that and much more still to come tonight on KPR. Support for Film Music Friday comes from the Kansas Music Hall of Fame, presenting their 2026 induction ceremony featuring performances by the Get Up Kids, Annie McKee, Brody Buster, and Main Street, May 30th at Liberty Hall. Tickets at ksmhof.org. Was there ever a more magical moment in movies when we stepped through a black and white door and wound up in the vibrant technicolor world of the yellow brick road to Dorothy and her ruby slippers? Next on KPR, we'll wind the clock back to 1939 and enjoy the music written by Harold Arlen for The Wizard of Oz with the musicians of E. Salonisti next on KPR. Thank you. ensemble I Salonisti, and music by Harold Arland, a suite from The Wizard of Oz, here on Kansas Public Radio, in an evening of Movie Magic tonight on Film Music Friday. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and online, of course, kansaspublicradio.org. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, supporting, coordinating, and elevating Kansas Trails as key assets for outdoor recreation, community health, tourism, and rural vitality. Details at kstrails.org. Next on Film Music Friday, I've got work from composer James Horner from two pictures he did in the 1980s that were about magical things. In the first, a young prince is off to rescue his princess, for which he'll need the help of a magical weapon called the glaive. That'll be followed by the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra with themes from the tale of the diminutive sorcerer Willow. Next on KPR. Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, led by Eric Kunzel, and themes from the movie Willow. And before that, Quest for the Glaive, from the movie Krull. Two pictures from the 1980s, scored by James Horner, here on Kansas Public Radio. Just a little bit to go now until NPR News at the top of the hour. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Maselli's, preparing Heat and Eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner items for drive-thru pickup on Wednesday afternoons. Gluten-free, vegetarian, and dairy-free options available. New menus added weekly and online ordering at MacellisOnline.com. Next on KPR, we began this hour with music from Harry Potter, and what we'll listen to shares the same universe, the story of a wizard from the 1920s and his amazing suitcase full of wondrous critters. Music by James Newton Howard, from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, next on KPR. from James Newton Howard, selections from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, here on Kansas Public Radio. Almost time now for NPR News, and more movie magic is on the way with music from The Illusionist, The Prestige. And we've got work written by Howard Shore from The Lord of the Rings Pictures all awaiting us in the next hour.
At NPR's Morning Edition, we talk with newsmakers.
Let's hear now from Senator Alex Padilla of California.
Cultural icons.
That is Billy Idol. The new documentary is called Billy Idol Should Be Dead. It'll be streaming.
And people living the news.
Robert Echevarria is one of the more than 500 TSA officers who quit during the partial government shutdown.
All perspectives on what's happening every weekday from NPR News.
Catch Morning Edition weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m. at your place for NPR News. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Grain markets fell after President Trump left China with no firm trade deal for American soybean farmers. NPR's Kirk Siegler reports many farmers are nervous going into the planting season, with China historically being their biggest buyer.
There had been hope that the summit would result in China committing to buy even more than the 25 million metric tons of soybeans that the White House says it's agreed to annually. That's only a verbal agreement, and nothing out of the summit was put on paper, nor was there a deal to buy even more, which caused prices to plummet by 24 cents. Here's analyst Brian Split on the podcast Standard Grain.
We're running out of time to get additional details. And again, hopefully if there are details, it's something concrete, not just, hey, it's billions of dollars of goods by the end of the season. I think the trade would really like to see something specific.
Export-dependent farmers tell NPR they're nervous about that and that no other firm deals were inked for commodities like corn. Kirk Siegler, NPR News, New York.
Colorado Democratic governor has shortened the prison sentence for Tina Peters, a former clerk convicted of tampering with election equipment after the 2020 election. Colorado Public Radio's Benta Berkland has more.
The controversial decision follows a month-long pressure campaign from President Trump and his administration to free Peters from state custody. Governor Jared Polis says her nearly nine-year sentence in 2024 was too long. She will be eligible for parole June 1st.
This is not a pardon. It's really making sure that her free speech was not a criteria for her overly harsh sentencing.
A Colorado appeals court ordered she be resentenced last month, saying the judge had sentenced Peters too harshly for her beliefs. This commutation puts Polis directly at odds with his own party and election clerks. For NPR News, I'm Benta Berkland in Colorado.
The CIA director made an unannounced visit to Cuba yesterday, delivering a strong warning from President Trump to Cuba's communist leaders. This is Cuba says it's run out of fuel and it's dealing with near total blackouts. There are questions on whether President Trump will do to Cuba what he did to Venezuela in ousting President Nicolas Maduro in January. And here's Greg Myrie has more.
We should note that Trump dispatched Ratcliffe to Venezuela in January, less than 2 weeks after U.S. troops seized that country's president, Nicolas Maduro, who remains in U.S. custody in New York. Now, Ratcliffe laid out what the U.S. expected of Venezuela at that time, and the Trump administration describes the relationships in generally positive terms, though it's mostly the same people as before, minus Maduro.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting. Venezuela supplied Cuba with oil, but the U.S. now controls Venezuela's oil industry and has stopped shipments to Cuba. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia. For 35 years, sharing what works in schools today and working to inspire new ways to learn tomorrow. More at edutopia.org. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. an evil queen uses the power of magic to banish an actual cartoon Disney princess to the actual real world, where the rules of life just aren't the same. That's the gist of the movie Enchanted, with music there by Alan Menken, a little sweet from the 2007 Disney picture here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Jeff Watson, glad to be back with you with more movie magic. Coming up, we've got music written by Jerry Goldsmith for Legend and Howard Shore, and a little sample from each one of the original Lord of the Rings pictures. That's all ahead tonight on Film Music Friday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to continue on with music from a pair of movies that were about stage magicians. And if movies about stage magicians are your thing, then 2006 was absolutely your year. There were two big magic pictures that hit theaters that year, and we will listen to music from both of them, starting with a Christopher Nolan movie that saw Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale, two on-screen superheroes who in this story played 19th-century stage magicians with a bitter rivalry and sought to undermine each other and learn each other's magical secrets in The Prestige, with music written by David Julian, next on Film Music Friday. tale of a bitter rivalry between two 19th century stage magicians in The Prestige from 2006 with music by composer David Julian. Tonight on KPR during Film Music Friday. The year 2006 was definitely a banner year for movies about stage magicians. There was another one that hit theaters that year that had in it Edward Norton, who played a fellow named Eisenstein, who used his knowledge of stagecraft, magic, and prestidigitation to win the love of his life and thwart the ambitions of an evil crown prince in The Illusionist. The music was provided by none other than Philip Glass, and here's a little bit next on KPR. music by Philip Glass from The Illusionist from 2006 here on Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for joining us on an evening of movie magic. Coming up is music by Howard Shore from each one of the three films that make up The Lord of the Rings, still to come here on KPR. Support for Film Music Friday comes from Peraspera, Kansas History Podcast, presenting a live listening event of 12 to Freedom, about those who risked all to escape slavery, hosted by KPR's Kay McIntyre, May 20th, 6:30 p.m. at 10th and Mass Studio in Lawrence. And Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area, and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE. Next on KPR is some more music about a young hero off to rescue a damsel in distress, as well as a magical unicorn from The Literal Devil, played oh so deliciously by Tim Curry in the 1985 picture Legend. Now, when that movie was first released in the United States in the mid-1980s, the music was provided by a German electronic music group called Tangerine Dream. The European version, as well as today's director's cut, has music by Jerry Goldsmith, and we'll listen to Goldsmith conduct the National Philharmonic with a little bit of his own music, next on KPR. Jerry Goldsmith leading the National Philharmonic Orchestra there in music he wrote for Legend from 1985. Music that was featured on both the European version of that release as well as the director's cut here on Kansas Public Radio. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Kansas Music Hall of Fame presenting their 2026 induction ceremony, featuring performances by The Get Up Kids, Andy McKee, Brody Buster, and Main Street, May 30th at Liberty Hall. Tickets at ksmhof.org. Join us for KPR 105 Live from the Dole Institute. Food trucks at 11:30 and a concert featuring Alexa Dawson at 1 p.m. on Thursday, June 4th. Live from the Dole Institute. More at doleinstitute.org. That's by Michael Nyman. From a 1991 British avant-garde film, an adaptation of Shakespeare's The Tempest with Sir John Gielgud as legendary wizard Prospero. Music from Prospero's books here on Kansas Public Radio. Not long ago now until the news from NPR at the top of the hour, followed by jazz. And about time for our main event of the evening. Back in the early aughts, composer Howard Shore helped director Peter Jackson do the impossible, adapting for the film the three-book series The Lord of the Rings, one of the most magical tales of all time. We're going to hear a suite next comprised of some key moments of all three films, Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, and The Return of the King, next on Film Music Friday.
We'll be right back.
from composer Howard Shore. Music from all three of the movies that comprise the Lord of the Rings trilogy for you tonight on Film Music Friday in an evening of movie magic. I'm Jeff Watson, and I hope you had a magical time. We've reached the end of another Film Music Friday. Keep it tuned right here for the news from NPR, followed by Jazz with Bob McWilliams. I'll have more for you next week at this same time here on Kansas Public Radio.
Between AI and social media and misinformation, it's good to be skeptical of what you hear. On Morning Edition from NPR News, you get independent reporting.
And tell us what NPR has learned about these back-channel efforts from countries.
Driven by curiosity, not an agenda.
Oh, that part is news to me. What's going on here?
Get the facts every weekday.
Catch Morning Edition weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m. here at your place to find NPR News. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute FM 90.3, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The Supreme Court today rejected a bid from Virginia to restore a voter-approved congressional map that would have given Democrats the opportunity to pick up more seats in the closely divided U.S. House. That decision leaves in place a state Supreme Court ruling on maps that voters narrowly passed last month. Virginia acted after President Trump pushed Republican-led states to redraw their maps to favor GOP candidates ahead of the midterms. Recently, a Supreme Court ruling weakened the Voting Rights Act, saying race can't be the only consideration in designing a map. And the High Court sided with Republicans in Alabama and Louisiana, who hope to redraw their congressional maps to produce more GOP-leaning seats. The State Department says Israel will be extending a ceasefire in Lebanon to allow for talks to continue between the two countries. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports ambassadors met at the State Department for the past 2 days.
State Department spokesperson Tommy Pigott says the two-day meeting was highly productive and that the ceasefire announced last month will be extended another 45 days to enable further progress. The next round of talks will be on June 2nd and 3rd. Military delegations from Israel and Lebanon will also meet at the Pentagon later this month with the goal of establishing security along their shared border. In recent weeks, Israel has taken over large parts of southern Lebanon in its fight to push back Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed Lebanese militia that has been firing rockets into Israel. More than a million Lebanese have been uprooted. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The death toll from a Russian missile attack on an apartment building in Kyiv this week has risen to at least 24, including children. It was one of the deadliest attacks on the capital in Russia's four-year-old war. Ukraine's President Zelensky led an official day of mourning today in Kyiv. A day-long prayer called Rededicate 250 is taking place on the National Mall Sunday in Washington, D.C. NPR's Jason DeRose has more.
The event is billed as a rededication of the country as one nation under God. Among religious leaders on the docket are Franklin Graham, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, and Paula White Cain, who leads the administration's faith office. Also taking part, Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Critics of the event say it blurs the line between church and state. It comes at a time when a new study from Pew Research finds a growing number of Americans say religion is gaining influence in the country. Pew also found that a large majority of Republicans view that influence as a good thing, while Democrats view it less favorably. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. As immigration and birth rates decline, the U.S. population isn't growing the way it used to. But new census data show smaller cities are bucking that trend. NPR's Amy Held has more.
Growth in many smaller cities is outpacing big urban centers. Census statisticians say that's in part because of new housing. The Dallas suburb of Salina is the fastest growing city in the nation. Its population surged by about a quarter last year. Ryan Tubbs is mayor.
We have a whole lot of single family housing growth, but our commercial growth is catching up to that.
A different story is playing out in big cities across the U.S. Their average growth rates fell by at least half. New York City's population last year shrank by more than 12,000 people. By 2030, the government estimates there will be fewer babies born in the country than there are deaths. Absent immigration, that means the U.S. population would shrink. Amy Held, NPR News.
In New York, the biggest commuter rail system in the country, LIRR, could be hit with a strike tomorrow, as the window for contract negotiations with union workers is set to expire at midnight. A strike almost happened last fall, but intervention from the Trump administration got the two sides to agree to 6 months of talks to try to get a new contract. But so far, they haven't. The LIRR is the busiest commuter rail in North America, with around 250,000 travelers each day. Wall Street lower by the closing bell, with the Dow down 537 points. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org.
Blue skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song, nothing but blue skies from now on. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw life going so right. Funny how the days keep hurrying by, when you've known love, boy, how they fly in. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on. Oh, da 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 da. I'm noticing the days and they're hurrying by, and when you've known love, boy, how they're flying. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on. Blue skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see, do I see, do I see. Oh.
Judith Owen opening tonight's Jazz in the Night with Blue Skies. And that is from her new album called Suitin' Yourself, recorded in New Orleans with legendary New Orleans pianist David Dorkanowski, along with bassist Lex Warshawski. Judith Owen on Jazz in the Night. I'm Bob McWilliams here with you on this Friday evening. Thanks for coming along for some jazz and a little bit. We'll hear from McCoy Tyner's 1968 album, Time for Tyner. Two new releases in this next set. The second will be from bassist Ben Wolf and a piece he calls Down with Gravity. But we'll start off with the pianist Billy Childs, his first trio album in some 25 years. He calls it Triumvirate. And we're going to hear his version of Lazy Afternoon.